Have an opening scripture this morning.
I'm so excited.
I am. Because how many of you know how many weeks it's been since we set that teaching on words aside? You all had copies of the different confessions that come out of our mouths or that once did. That don't bring glory to the Lord, and the power of life and death is in the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. But I heard this was prompted again because I actually heard a person on international television say this, and it was so, the reality of what she spoke was so startling. It was a reminder to come back to this teaching on words, and it takes a long time because we don't have a lot of time each time we come together, and it will take some time. Out of her mouth, she spoke this. It was in reference to someone had just written and released a new book. And a host said, she said this, "I'm just dying to read that new book." And Quick Rick said, "Oh my God, what if she did? She'll never get to read it." You know, it's one of those on that list. You have that list. There were 24 items, so I made this one number 25. Be really mindful of what we release out of our mouths, because John had talked about last week in Mark's Gospel chapter 11 about speaking to things. And so when we prayed for Tom, we spoke to the pneumonia, and that's very proper to do that. But sometimes we get a little careless with things that we say, and it ends up like Proverbs 21:23, which is our opening scripture this morning, and it'll be a gateway into coming back to the word teaching, because we as a body, we revisit that every 4 or 5 years, because we start getting a little bit careless and start speaking things that if they come to pass, they could open a door that doesn't need to be opened. Proverbs 21:23, and I have it in the NIV because I can tell you that probably everybody in this room can relate to this. It says, "Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity." Open mouth, insert foot, and all kind of deal. Read that again. "Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity." So it's another admonishment from the Word to keep that in mind. And I have some notes that I have that will go along with this. This proverb, like many in the book of Proverbs, offers practical wisdom for living a righteous and peaceful life. Proverbs is kind of nicknamed the wisdom book. If you really want wisdom, go and read the book of Proverbs, because it is just filled with, you know, you talked about those nuggets. And Proverbs is filled with words of wisdom. It emphasizes the importance of controlling one's speech to avoid unnecessary problems and conflicts. In this, I shared a testimony at Bible study Wednesday night. So for all of you that heard that, you can just opt out for this portion or hear it again. You know, I talked to you about the salvation of the former priest that I've been bowling with, and now we're bowling on Sunday nights, and how he used to get into a tirade and get really, really angry, and it was like my kite moment on steroids, because it lasted the whole evening Sunday night, and I really believe it was wisdom not to open my mouth and say anything, because he terrified the people we were bowling with. They're new bowlers, and they'd never seen an outburst like that lasted for so long. nobody plans to go there and bowl bad, and you went bowling with the kiddies, but to hear the words coming out of this man's mouth were, you know, once again, they were prompts to me to come back and finish what we started a long time ago. The importance of don't let our guard down. The word says a soft answer turns away wrath. And I sense that there wouldn't be a lot that I could say that would quench that in him, because this continued for all three games. So right to the end. We would say what you should have said. We may have had a bad night at the game, but next week is coming. But now he took it to his car, and I was concerned about him driving in that rage. And I'll know tonight how today went. But I began loosing God's peace to come upon him even as I was driving home, because it was after dark. And to go away and be really angry, you let your guard down and are not even aware of things around you and your surroundings, or who's in your hearing range, and the impact that might have on somebody else. So that prompted me. The book of Proverbs is a part of the Bible's wisdom literature, providing practical advice on how to live wisely and avoid folly. Many of the Proverbs attributed to Solomon deal with themes such as speech, behavior, and personal conduct. So it isn't just what we speak. It's how it sets a course, almost like on fire, to those who hear what we speak, even if it's ourselves. And Proverbs frequently highlights the power of words and the importance of speaking wisely. This particular verse aligns with others that warn against the dangers of careless or harmful speech. Now, our government is trying to use that in a bad way and say every time they speak lies and disinformation, they accuse us of doing that, and they're doing the very thing. So there's a big emphasis now on passing legislation to control our speech, whereas the Constitution says it very nicely, but they don't like that. And they always, the Constitution was written to keep our government in check over what it does and can do to the citizens it governs over. So they always try to find ways to get around that. So when you start hearing words about misinformation and disinformation, if you disagree with what our government sends you as information, that can make a big problem for you. God's word already has everything we need to pattern our speech after and glean from it the wisdom, because this word comes from our Father. And that supersedes everything else. When it comes to words of truth, misinformation, disinformation, to me, misinformation is missed information. It's everything we could glean from these precious words that are written if we're quick to read and slow to remember and apply them in our lives, because they really do change the course of our walk and maybe even our destiny and all the things that are available to us. But because we can mess things up with our speech, some of those things that God has designed for us may not come to pass until our confession lines up with his word. So these are just some highlights. Guarding the mouth and tongue. This phrase implies a deliberate and vigilant effort to control what one says. James says, no man can tame the tongue. It's got to be being submitted to the Holy Spirit. Now that's the key for us as believers. We have we have such wonderful tools to help us in this area, because I know for sure I'm not the only one that's lost it once or twice, in my words. So this will help us. It involves thinking before speaking. Oh, where was the phrase I heard one time? It's always good to get your mind in gear before you speak or engage your mouth. Yeah, something like that. Like, don't keep the car in park. Being mindful of the impact of our words. Keeping the soul from troubles. The soul here refers to one's life. I used to think that it had to do with the soulish realm, and maybe it does, because the soul is it's the mind, the will, the soulish realm of us. It's about the sense realm, the five physical senses, and how we think, how we reason, and all that. But as we renew our minds to the Word, like Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12, to renew our minds to the Word, those are wonderful things that we can continue to do to help us when our mouths just want to start spouting off and say things that we'll be sorry for later. By guarding our speech, we can avoid conflicts, misunderstandings, and other troubles that arise from careless or harmless words. Power of words, said that. Let's see what's on my next page. Oh, here we go. I knew I had more. Creative and destructive potential. Words have the power to build up or tear down. That chart I sent out to all of you at the beginning, we had a chart about 8 or 10 categories of what words do. There's a constructive side and there's a destructive side. And here's the scripture that all of that was based on. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. This underscores the significant impact our words can have on others and ourselves. Reflection of the heart. This is another thing. Jesus taught that our words reflect the condition of our hearts. He said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that speaks volumes. Therefore, guarding our speech also involves nurturing a heart aligned with God's wisdom and love. It's hard to fathom those words when Jesus said that about our words reflect what's in our heart, because we are what we speak. And so these are little guardrails, okay, to kind of help us, because there may be a lot of things we're going to want to say to our TVs and our phones and people that just outright can aggravate you to the point of maybe not blessing with a brick, but maybe saying some things that probably wouldn't be too good. James, for in many things we all stumble. If anyone doesn't stumble in word, the same as a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. And we'll be looking at James. If you don't think words are important, James wrote a whole chapter on words, chapter 3. And he related our tongue to the smallest member of our body, but yet it's like the rudder of a ship. The world is boasting about the biggest new cruise liner now. Laurie and Ken, you probably know which one it is. Well, Jeremiah got to see it in the port of Miami, I think it has the capacity to carry 10,000 passengers. But it's 16 stories high above the water. And it's like a towering thing ready to sink with a whole city full of people. It's massive. And yet the rudder of that ship is so small compared to the size of that ship. And yet the helmsman can steer that ship with that little tiny rudder, and that massive cruise ship is turned with such a small rudder. And James made that same distinction with our tongue. It can change the course of our purpose, maybe even our destiny, maybe even our destination, if it's not tamed and brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. So I have a lot of fun with this, and we all do, because sometimes we laugh at the things that come out of our mouths that are funny, and we talked about those. Jesse's grandpa used to say, "Good grief," all the time, and I wonder, he watched the Charlie Brown, he was always saying it, "Oh, good grief, Charlie Brown." And so a lot can be gleaned out of this. Wise speech produces peace. You know, we pray for peace. Maybe that's a hint to some of us. Harmony, reducing the likelihood of conflict and trouble. Don't provoke an already angry person. You might be surprised at how suddenly they grew to great strength. Practice self-control, think before speaking, cultivate the habit of pausing before we speak. Consider the potential impact of your words and whether they're even necessary, whether they're kind and whether they're true. Pray for guidance. Ask God for wisdom and self-control in our speech. Naturally, this is speaking to the person who may have these issues. And I would say probably for a lot of us, it may be from time to time. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a way of life. In my household growing up, it was a way of life. I heard Jesus mentioned so many times. I should have known him from the time I was 3 years old. And I'm not going to go any further with that. But his name was spoken often. Building each other up encourages and edifies. Our words can be used to do that as well. Use your words to build up and encourage others. You know, somebody comes through the front door, "Well, that's an ugly shirt. Why'd you choose that to wear today?" And their whole countenance changes. It falls like they just melt down into their shoes. You know, when people say mean stuff, and a lot of times it happens way back when we were in school. And kids were very good at finding your fault or finding something to speak into your life that was so wrong. And yet it altered the course of a kid's life for years after that because of what people said to them. And that's why even as parents and working with our kids and our grandchildren, how important it is to remember that truth, because we can really hurt somebody when they're young and vulnerable. And a lot of times kids are just like we were one time. We didn't know any different. And we have to remember that with our children now that they're grown, and our grandchildren to speak into their lives these kind of words that are going to build them up. It's their parents' responsibility. But a lot of us now are grandparents, and we have opportunities to set a good example for our grandchildren in how we've learned to not speak the way we used to. Lots of benefits. Speak the truth in love. Sometimes that's hard to do because a person can take offense very quickly and refuse wise counsel. I have a policy. I have a lot of answers that can be helpful to people, but I've learned in ministry it works so much better when you're invited to be a part of the process, because then you have an open and a willing heart to work with, and people won't take offense. But if you just come busting into somebody's life like slamming the door open, "Well, this is what you should do," you know, already they draw back, doors close in the heart, and you can't reach that person. And it started with the words that you first spoke. And you wonder why you can't reach somebody sometime. There may be an opportunity when you were a bit harsh, and that door will remain closed until they're healed. Balance honesty with kindness. Speak truthfully, but do it in a way that's loving and considerate. And don't make the mistake of trying to prove how right you are in front of everybody else. Do that privately. You'll find that it'll go much better. And so with that in mind, I heard that there was going to be a special song this morning in the house as part of a follow-up to this. So let the words of the song be soothing to the words you just heard.